When Muammar Gaddafi seized power in a 1969 coup, he was a young military officer in a country still emerging from a brutal colonial past. He defined himself as a populist leader in touch with the country's traditional values. Over the decades, he became seen as an increasingly eccentric leader who was linked to acts of international terrorism, most infamously the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie. For more on the evolution of Gaddafi, we reached Ali Ahmida. He was born in Libya, and he's the author of The Making of Modern Libya.
The first 10, 15 years of his leadership, he was viewed in a positive way because the government, his government, raised the salaries for working class and middle class groups. They began to expand education for women. They began to negotiate in a very rigorous way with the oil companies. They also saw him as something that symbolized the ordinary people. He looked like Libyans. His accent is very Bedouin and very much country accent. He ate like them. Many, many people thought that he's one of them, and he was shrewd and very charismatic in conveying the symbolism that ordinary people knew and wanted to hear. And at the same time, he knew Libyan history, Libyan social divisions, Libyan colonial battles and resistance in and out more than the intellectuals and the elite in the urban areas who really opposed him. In the 1980s, he became a little bit eccentric, but he used that to consolidate his power. He tried to introduce something like pastoral socialism based on his Green Book.
That Green Book, let's just say, it's very similar to the Little Red Book of Mao.
Exactly, Renee.
It's his philosophy.
His philosophy, economic philosophy. It's funny that you mentioned Mao Zedong because he has a Green Book because Mao had a Red Book, but also he regarded himself like Mao. I am a leader. I'm not really a president after 1977. And this is really very odd because when you don't even recognize that you call the shots and you deny that you are really the president, it means that despotism and control is even much deeper than somebody who is just a declared dictator.
So as he was becoming a despot in a very classic tradition, did this sneak up on Libyans?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Renee. Keep in mind that Libya is the richest country in Africa with only a small population. I mean, right now we're talking about 6 million people, and earlier it was even less than that. Gaddafi and the people around him had the luxury of not relying on taxation, but oil revenues. So that allows, you know, him and his authoritarian rule a more autonomy from society. Many Libyans, they supported him in the 70s. In the 80s, they really did not support him. But they began to say, well, we are better than the Egyptians, better than the Tunisian, other neighboring countries, because we still have the welfare state, we have a free health care. So, well, we could survive, you know, I care about other things.
At this point in time, are Libyans, do they see him as, you know, UN Representative Susan Rice called him just earlier this week, delusional? I mean, do they see him the way the West does, to some extent, as a little bit crazy?
Delusional, that's an accurate description, yes. Judging from his speeches and his answers to the international media, he seems to be really completely out of touch. I mean, earlier, he was very sharp, whether we agree with him or not, in dealing with threats to his regime and articulating some answers. But I doubt that he's really grasping the realities around him. Keep in mind, this is a guy who has been in power for 40 years, went from third world liberator self-image to the king of kings in Africa. So I think the delusion is real. And I think many Libyans will share that view.
Professor Ahmida, thank you very much for talking with us.
I enjoyed it very, very much.
Ali Ahmida teaches political science at the University of New England, and he's the author of The Making of Modern Libya.